Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Paul is encouraging Philemon now to forgive Onesimus. And some see a much larger picture here, that God is using what's happening here as a type of what you and I face. Just as Onesimus had been wronged by this slave who ran away and stole from him, you and I have had people that have wronged us. And you and I have been forgiven by someone else.
We can probably all think of someone in our lives who we had to forgive after some huge offense. But how often do we think of that person who had to forgive us because we offended? God's Word tells us we love because He loved us first. And in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he tells us to forgive each other just as God forgives us, with an encouragement and reminder on God's command to forgive. Here's Robert Furrow with the second and final teaching out of the book of Philemon.
He takes time in the beginning of this letter to encourage Philemon. Now, probably Onesimus carried the letter to Philemon. But I also like to think that maybe he got the letter before he discovered that Onesiphorus had returned, because Onesiphorus came back with the letter. And that when he got a letter from Paul, he would have been excited. He opens it up, he reads this first section here, and he's like, Paul's kind of like really encouraging me here. He's recognizing what I'm doing for the church and how the church is being blessed by me. And Paul really, in the beginning of this letter, wants to make sure that he understands that he is truly blessed by him. But then he says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting. And you don't hear that kind of language from Paul very often. In fact, when Paul talks about pastoral positions, he says, do not lord over the flock, but lead by example. Don't tell them what to do. Lead by example, that they can see how Christ is blessed in your life and they'll live the same way. But Paul says, as an apostle, I could command you to do what is fitting. Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Again, knowing where this letter is going, which is Paul asking him to forgive Onesiphorus and to send him back to Paul, to basically set him free and to send him back to Paul. For the way that Paul writes this is kind of funny. He says, I could command you to do this, but now, being Paul, the aged and the prisoner, kind of like lays it on, kind of thick, like, I'm just an old man and I'm in prison. And all I want is Onesiphorus. You could help me out. That's kind of what Paul's doing. He's like, I'm appealing to you in my old age. I don't have much time left, Philemon, and I am in prison. And the truth is, I think Philemon and Paul really did love one another, really would do anything for each other. And Paul's pretty confident that he's going to respond to him. He says, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. I call him Onesiphorus, but Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. In other words, Paul was just sharing Christ with people around him. And somehow he came across this runaway slave. And by the way, Colossae is a long ways away from Rome. So Onesimus ran from Colossae and went to Rome probably to get lost in the crowds there, and just so happened to come across Paul. Maybe Paul knew him from Philemon's house, and maybe that's how they connected, but you can't say that there wasn't something providential going on here. That when our lives go in directions that we don't want them to go, that we can be confident that God's got something happening. God is at work, even if it's something that we don't want. And so here Paul is in prison, and all of a sudden here's Onesimus, and he brings Onesimus to Christ. He says, who I begat while in my chains. And you could also say, and what a coincidence. When I went to Colossae, I begat you. I shared Christ to you. Philemon had come to Christ through Paul. And now, out of coincidence, his runaway slave comes to Christ. He says, who once was unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable to you and to me. He was unprofitable because he was a runaway slave. He was unprofitable because he had stolen stuff from him. But now he says he's profitable both to you and me. By the way, slavery in Rome was different than slavery here in the United States. And runaway slaves were treated extremely poorly when they returned, when they were caught. There was also a lot of freeing going on in Rome. There are a lot of slaves who were freed out of Rome. In fact, so many slaves were freed in the second century that they made a law that you could only free so many slaves in a period of time because it was overwhelming their economy. Basically, there were all of these unemployed people that were there and they suddenly had to make a command. But Onesiphorus could be executed for running away. Onesiphorus could be executed in a very brutal way for running away. And so Paul is taking a real step here by sending him back. He realizes that he has Onesimus. I'm going to call him Onesimus instead of Onesiphorus, all right? He is taking Onesimus's life in his hands by sending him back to Philemon, by saying, go and I want to ask him to send you back. And Onesimus does it. He says in verse 12, I am sending him back to you, therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. He says, I want him to come back to me, and I want him to minister to me, the old man in prison. Verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted you to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. And this is what God wants from us when we give. It's why we in the church today are no longer under the tithe system, because the tithe was compulsory. You had to do it. You had to pay your tithe. But now we give because we want to give. I come back to the role of a pastor again. When Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, if you're going to pastor, don't do it because you're compelled to do it, but do it because it is something you want to do, something you enjoy doing, something you pour your life into. And that's what Paul wants. Paul doesn't want to command him to do this because Philemon would do it. I mean, this is Paul. And Philemon would easily do whatever Paul told him to do. But he says, I don't want to steal your reward away from you. And so he says to him, for perhaps he departed from you for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. And now Paul brings up the idea that something bad might happen to you, or something unfortunate might happen to you, because God's got something greater down the road. And that is just faith. That's just facing storms and difficulties and dark days and battening down the hatches and getting through it, saying, you know what? I'm going to trust in Christ during this. It doesn't make storms easy. It doesn't mean they aren't tough and difficult. It doesn't mean that if you're in a situation in your life like Onesimus was, where he had to go back and face Philemon, or where Philemon was, where he had to forgive Onesimus, or Paul was, where he was in prison. Paul goes on to say here, perhaps it was for this reason, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Now Paul basically says, whatever he's taken from you, put that on my account. And then he takes the pen in his hand, and as a signature, Philemon would have looked at this. Paul probably had some kind of an eye disease. When he signs the book of Galatians, he writes the last part in his own hand, and he says, note the large letters by which this is written from, because people were writing saying they were Paul. And he said, all of my letters end this way, with the letters that I write. He wasn't saying the length of the book of Galatians. He was saying the large letters because he had an eye problem. He had told the Galatians as well, I know that you would have given me your very eyes if you could have. And so now Paul in verse 19 takes the pen in his hand and he says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay you. Why did he do that? Because he's giving him an IOU. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand, I will repay you. Don't blame or don't charge anything to Onesimus. You put it on my account. I will repay you. Now, a couple of things here as we get to this section. And Paul is encouraging Philemon now to forgive Onesimus. And some see a much larger picture here. that God is using what's happening here as a type of what you and I face. Just as Onesimus had been wronged by this slave who ran away and stole from him, you and I have had people that have wronged us. And you and I have been forgiven by someone else. A great deed that we couldn't pay back. Jesus used that very example. He said, there's a man that owed a small debt and a man who owed a great debt. The man who owed a great debt was forgiven, and he went out and got the man that owed him a small debt and grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And threw him in prison. The man who owed the great debt, when the one who he owed it to found out he had him thrown in prison, kind of revoked his forgiveness. And Jesus simply says to you and me, if we do not forgive, then we will not be forgiven. We forgive because we know that we have been forgiven a greater debt. And so as Paul is appealing to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, he says to him, put it to my account, I, Paul, write with this with my own hand. And then he says, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. I love how he lays that on him. He's like, not to mention that you owe me. Don't forget, you owe me because I led you to the Lord. You have heaven because of me. So there's this great debt that Philemon has, and Paul's asking him to forgive a smaller debt. And in this, we have a picture of forgiveness in our own lives. God has saved us, and God has forgiven us a great debt. And when someone offends you, when a brother in Christ, because now we have two brothers in Christ, Philemon and Onesimus, and when someone who offends you, it is essential that you forgive them. Now let's talk just for a moment about what forgiveness is, because sometimes I think we lose that. The Bible says when Jesus was telling the story about the two men that owed debts, it says that the guy who was forgiven the debt went out and found a guy that owed him a small amount, grabbed him by the neck and said, you pay me every penny, and then had him thrown into prison. What would he have had to have done to have forgiven that man? Simply let him go. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when you, being wronged, say, I am going to let it go. It has nothing to do with reconciliation. It might. Letting him go might open the door for reconciliation, but it doesn't have to. In fact, there are times when reconciliation wouldn't be appropriate. But you've got to let him go. You have to. You can't walk around as a Christian being unforgiving. You have been forgiven, and we are commanded to forgive. And when we talk about this, I realize that there are some real violations that are out there. People that have really done bad things to other people. And people struggle with forgiving. And sometimes it doesn't take being a really bad thing to have happened to you before you struggle with forgiving. Forgiveness is one of those things that when I talk to people after services, that they'll come up to me and say, I understand what you're saying, but I have such a hard time forgiving. And I realize that. But you don't have a choice. As a believer, as a Christian, we forgive. We let it go. If you don't, bitterness is going to arise in you, and the root of bitterness, which has defiled many, will end up defiling you. You have to let it go. You have to say, I'm not going to dwell on this anymore, Lord. I give it to you. It is yours. I forgive them. I let it go. They don't owe me anything. Because that's what we say when we hold unforgiveness to someone. You hurt me, and I'm going to make you pay. The thing is they don't care. That's why I say, listen, when you forgive people, don't do the thing where you go around telling people that you've forgiven them. Because sooner or later, you're going to run into somebody who's going to say to you, I don't care if you forgive me or not. And then you're going to hate them all over again. You just let them go. Let them go. They don't owe you anything anymore because you were forgiven a great debt. You forgive them a great debt. And whoever has wronged you in the past, you have to deal with and let it go. And it could be that this is really what God is dealing with here in this book, is Philemon, a spiritual man, who has to say to Onesimus, who hurt him by stealing things from him, okay, I'll let it go. And Paul uses the "don't forget you owe me" with him. "I'll pay it, whatever you want to charge me." And no doubt, I mean, we don't know the end of this story. We don't know how this all shook out. But I can't imagine Philemon didn't send Onesimus back to Paul and say, "You owe me nothing." I can't imagine I will be shocked if we get to heaven and find out that it didn't end that way. He goes on to say here then, "not to mention that you owe me even your life besides." And by the way, when we think about that, how much do we owe the people who brought us to Christ? How much do I owe that youth pastor there for just a summer in the Methodist church I was in who said to me, "Are you going to heaven?" Sitting down before a youth group, just have a conversation with me. How much do men that followed him as spiritual men who played a real role in my life? I shared with you a few weeks ago that I lost my dad at 14 years old. There was a couple of guys, one in particular, that God used to really help form me into a godly man. And he went to Oral Roberts University. And a few years ago, on a Sunday morning, I talked about some of the things that Oral Roberts did in a negative way. Now, he had talked about some of the things Oral Roberts did in a negative way, too, in the past, but he had reconciled those things. And so he had called me up and he said, "Hey, I heard you talking about Oral Roberts, and I just want you to know, I mean, I went to go see him before he died, and I don't think you should do that." And I said, "I don't know that I agree with you, but I know this. I owe you a lot because you were there in my life at a critical time. And so for your sake, I won't do it anymore to him. I'll do it to these other guys, but I won't do it anymore to him." And I think there's a legitimacy there. I think saying to someone, having that opportunity to say to someone, "I owe you because you were there for me in my life." When I think about those of you who have been here and ministered together, those of you who have prayed for me during the darkest, difficult days of my life, what do I owe you guys? Those of you guys that are here that stood by me, I think it's just awesome. And when we think about what we owe one another, well, what does the Bible say? Owe one another nothing but love. We owe each other love. For those that think that forgiveness is the main key in Philemon, we understand it. For those that think that brotherly love is the main thing in Philemon, we understand that as well. Because Paul's talking to Philemon about what he owes him. And what does Philemon owe him? Love. What does he owe Onesimus? Love. And what does Onesimus owe to Paul and Philemon? Love at this point. And what is it that we owe one another? We owe it. It's a debt that we should pay to one another, that we truly love each other. And so Paul says, "but don't forget that you owe me." And then he says, "yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord." He says, you can bless me by doing this, and you can bring me joy, and you can refresh my heart. In fact, I just think Paul is great at writing to his friend and giving him all of the reasons why he should let him go. As I said, I can't imagine being Philemon and hearing all of these things and going, "nope, not going to send him." He says, "having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile also, prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you." He says to him, "and get a guest room ready because I'm coming to visit. If you're going to not send it back to me, I'm going to be there. I'm coming to visit." Which is, well, we don't know which time Paul is imprisoned here. Paul was imprisoned for a short time in Philippi. Paul was imprisoned in Rome for several years. Then Paul was released for a couple of years and traveled around to churches. Maybe Paul even made his way back to Colossae, made his way back to Philemon's house. And maybe Philemon and Onesimus and the aged Paul all stood and talked and laughed together, because God had done this reconciling work even in these men in life that had turned in ways that, well, were certainly not ideal. And so then he says, "but meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." Then he goes through his list of his friends. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. I don't know whether Epaphras is arrested for faith, The persecution, the great persecution started by Nero. Nero burned Rome down and the populace turned against him. Nero wanted to build out a certain part of the city of Rome and the Senate denied him. Something about emperors, they didn't like having the Senate deny them things. And it just so happened that that section of the city of Rome burned down, the section that Nero wanted to rebuild. And he did rebuild it because it had burned down. The populace, the people, knew all of this. They turned against Nero. And Nero framed Christians. And this great persecution came on Christians during that time. It was then that they began arresting Christians, dipping them in oil, using them as candles to light up the streets of Rome, and some of the other horrible things that we've heard of at that time. Both Peter and Paul will be killed during that time of persecution. Paul is rearrested, he's set free, he's rearrested, and we don't have the account of that, and he will give his life for that. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, this may be during that beginning of that time, in Christ greets you, as does Mark, John Mark, and Archelaus, Demas. Demas is an interesting case. We'll talk about him at another time because I'm out of time. But Demas does end up denying the Lord. He ends up walking away. Luke, my fellow laborer, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. What a great book that brings us into the life of someone that we study so regularly. We hear the things he says about how we're supposed to live and what God has done for us. And then for us to kind of come into a problem that Paul has that he wants to solve, and seeing all of those things that we read in the book of Romans and Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians, seeing that come about as he appeals to this man to do what is the right thing. The lessons that we learn from it certainly are God's providence. Don't get too worked up about life that takes strange turns. Who knows what God has planned? We learn forgiveness. If anyone has wronged you, let it go. Forgive them. Reconciliation is another issue in a whole other sermon, by the way. But you have to forgive. Let them go. And brotherly love. Satan wants us at each other's throats. Satan wants us hating one another. He wants there to be a disturbance among us. That's what he wants. That's his scheme. But God wants us to demonstrate love. Find ways that you can demonstrate love even to those that you might have some difficulties with. All of these great lessons we receive from the book of Philemon. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this book and the richness of what seems to be just a little letter written to bring a slave back together with his owner, and then the owner to bless Paul. And Lord, we thank you that this has found its way into the canon of Scripture as an example for us. And we pray, Lord, as we consider our lives, that we would trust you. And I pray for those right now that are living in less than ideal situations. Life is tough for them. May they know that you are there in the midst of it and you are working. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.